This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Monty, we need to change the music because the boys are not back in town. I have no idea where Sims is. I've been calling him. I've been texting him. Ty, Monty, you know what I think it is? This is a big Bergen Catholic show today. They beat Sims and his Bosco team, and I think he did not want to be here. What do you guys think?
I think that might be it, too. I got a text message earlier this week. He said, I might be coming down with a stomach virus on Saturday if things don't go the correct way.
I knew it.
Or maybe the Bergen crazies got to him in the parking lot after the game.
He doesn't like those Bergen crazies.
They don't like him either.
And, you know, and here's the thing. And he gets along with Vito Campanelli really well. Vito's going to join us in just a second. Also on the show today, Greg Russo, the head coach from Northern Highlands, 12-0 so far. They'll try to ring the bell with the lucky 13 at Rutgers, 4 o'clock this afternoon against Irvington. And then Doug Phillips going to break down the whole NIL situation, name, image, and likeness. But, of course, the High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All-American Ford and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. All right, little bit of housekeeping, Monty. Hit it. Here we go. Up in Connecticut, they play the quarterfinals. Connecticut, as I've said all year, up until they're going to change it next year, has the best postseason playoff format. But for some reason, they've decided to mess with perfection. The state is tiny. It's the third smallest state in the country. They have 4 state champions. Now they're going to 6. I'm done with Connecticut. I'm done. Not everybody deserves a trophy. And in Connecticut, it's a shame. What makes Connecticut great is you have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. You have 16 teams left playing in semifinals tomorrow. The worst record in the postseason in Connecticut, a team is 8-3. That's what makes Connecticut great until next Saturday, the championship games. So by 7 o'clock next Saturday, Connecticut high school postseason is a joke. But I still like it now. Greenwich had the game won against Fairfield Prep. Prep, the top seed, they were down 14-7. The only loss the Jesuits suffered this year was to Greenwich High School. Jack Wilson got him that day in the regular season. Jack Wilson was doing his thing until the third quarter. He took a violent hit. It was a clean hit, but it was a strong, hard hit. Here's the problem. He goes out of the game. Greenwich can't score, give up 5 sacks, 3 turnovers. Fairfield Prep moving on to play Shelton. One thing I want to say about quarterback sliding. I think it was Troy Aikman a couple weeks ago. I was watching a game and he said it. They should get rid of sliding. And I'm saying to myself, why would he say that? It's here to protect the quarterback. But then when he broke it down in slow-mo, he said, look, when the quarterback slide, he is prone to take a bigger hit. Troy Aikman's right. They have to get sliding out of the game of football. It puts the defensive player in such a competitive disadvantage because you've already made your move to make a play. Get rid of sliding, and quarterbacks, believe it or not, will be more healthy. They will. So they're moving on tomorrow, 12:30, up there at Fairfield University to take on the Gales of Shelton. Darien rolled Hamden. New Canaan down early, 14-0 against Southington. Lou Marinelli and the boys come back. They win. Rematch now of the Thanksgiving game where New Canaan beat Darien 12-7. They'll play up there at New Canaan tomorrow at 12:30. I'll roll in there for that. Hey, you know what? In New York, let's give it to Anthony DiMatteo, okay? He took over for his legendary dad at Somers this year. Tony, one of the great coaches, one of the great people anywhere. Kid did a great job. They went undefeated into the Carrier Dome yesterday, took on Syracuse, Christian Brothers Academy. They lost. But this is why I want to give DiMatteo kudos. They went for 2 in the win. They had practiced it all year saying if we get in a situation where we can win a game with 2, we're going to go for it. Roll out, pass intercepted, they lose 32-31. Here's the only critique I have, and I've said this to other coaches around the tri-state. If you have said all year you're going for 2, you work on it in practice every day, you work on it at the end of practice every day, and you know you're going to do it, do it. Don't call timeout before you do it. Hit them, score, and keep that offensive personnel out there and attack. attack when you have the defense thinking, I love the call, I don't like the timeout, to then set up the two-point conversion. But what a year. They finish 12-1. Remember, they beat Rye twice. What a joke that was, that Rye gets a large bid. New York needs to revisit their postseason situation with teams that lose that get at-larges. Total joke. CBA Syracuse finishes the year 9-3. Shout out to my boy Mike Cohn. I know he's listening to the show today. He's all relaxed now. That Jack down there at Notre Dame, good riddance to Brian Kelly. I mean, my God, get him out of there. And the thing that I love, he's having trouble getting assistance from Notre Dame to come as to LSU. He thought the hay was in the barn, that all those guys would come over. And you know who's also upset about college coaches? Vito Campanelli from Bergen Catholic. We're going to wind him up in just a second. So now, Carmel, they go for their first ever state title today against Buffalo Bennett High School, 3 p.m. up at the Carrier Dome. Monty, hit it! All right, here we go. A long journey in a short time. Well, in New Jersey, everything, they go nonstop for 11 and a half months. We have the head coach of the number one team in the state of New Jersey. They rang the bell 12 times. Vito Campanelli. Coach, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me back.
No problem. How about Sims not showing up on this Bergen Catholic celebration Saturday morning?
Yeah, I heard the intro there. I definitely think the crazies have a lot to do. They might have him kidnapped over there on Ordell Ave. He might be somewhere down by the field.
Coach, before we get into the breakdown of what was a magical season, the first time since 2011 somebody in the big boy division went undefeated, your thoughts, I mean, because the quarterback from Greenwich High School the other night took a violent hit, clean hit, but he was in a sliding position. Do you think they should get the slide out of the game for quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it's too much these guys watching it on television personally. I mean, at the high school level, I really don't think it's something that's necessary or mandatory. As a former quarterback myself, I was never much of a slider. I don't promote it to our guys. And I could definitely see where, you know, you really have to give yourself up, but kids are playing fast. You see it in the NFL every week where guys kind of, there's penalties thrown because guys slide at inopportune times.
Coach, I was with you every Monday this year doing the War Room show over there at Bergen Catholic. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if I ever want to play cards with you, because you never showed me once that this postseason was nerve-wracking. And then after you beat Bosco 28-7 last week at MetLife, you said it was like an 80-pound monkey taken off your back. How did you hide that inner, like, just turmoil in your stomach every day? How'd you hide
I think that's a word. I definitely think I internalized a lot of it. But it was definitely coming out in my sleep patterns for sure. I was sleeping about 90 minutes a night. It was definitely something pop into my head. I'd wake up and I'd pace the kitchen floor. So it was been difficult, no doubt. I think just the opportunity to do something that's so hard to do here and being so close to it and wanting it so bad, you know, not just far from for myself, and for the players, for our school, everybody in the community. It was definitely weighing on me, no question.
Well, you hit it well, Coach. The eighth team in Bergen Catholic history to go undefeated, only the second to go 12-0. Of course, that 98 team. That was the second best high school football team I've ever seen. The Brian Toll, Mike Teal teams from 2003, they were the best. But at 7-0, Minicucci brings them right down the field. The long pass, quarterback keep, 7-0. Wow. You know, Bergen, I don't want to say you're on your heels there a little bit, but 3-and-out, you punt. Now it gets blocked. They get the ball 1st and 10 on the 15 going in. This is the turning point of the season for Bergen Catholic in game 12. 1st down, Bosco, 5 yards. Then I thought they got conservative. No gain on 2nd down, no gain on 3rd down. Freshman kicker, wide right, narrow field goalpost at a professional facility. And then that was the impetus where Bergen Catholic just came. That was the turning point of the game, fair to say?
Yeah, I think that really when you have a senior-laden team and you have guys that have a lot of experience, even our juniors that have played a couple years now, you know, it's the champ is not the guy who never gets punched in the face. It's the guy that could eat the punch in the face. And they definitely did that. And I really didn't feel like they flinched or wavered at all. They just kept their head down, kept playing tough football, and, you know, definitely turned a point, made a turning point with tough physical play.
You know, Coach, we talked about it on the show this week. We talked a lot about it during the season, too. In this day and age where everybody wants theirs instantly, my favorite player, I think, this year in the Tri-State, other than number 31 up there at Darien High School, Sean Quick, is Saeed St. Flour, your junior running back, because he sits behind a great player, Princeton-bound Ryan Butler, never complained, never moaned, just got in there, practice, got better every day, and you turned him loose in that state championship, and he was the offensive key to your firepower that day.
He really was a catalyst to the game. I think he's been a change of pace guy, and then he's been just a tremendous receiver out of the backfield. But he's done everything we've asked him to do. He is such a selfless person. He's everything you want in a high school football player. And, you know, we feel real strongly that he's going to be, if not the best, one of the top three backs in the Tri-State area next year. He's just a tremendous person, though. I just love him for so many reasons, but yeah, he certainly is a tremendous competitor, and what he gave to the game plan this week was incredible.
Donovan Catholic, nothing. St. Peter's Prep, nada. Don Bosco, zilch. That's what those teams did in the postseason in the second half. No points allowed by your defense in the second half of the postseason. How did you do that?
Not to sound cliche, Mike, but it's just a lot of toughness, and it's a lot of will to win and great conditioning. And then Tony DeBellis is doing an unbelievable job with our defense and getting those guys in position to play. And we talked so much this year about there has to be a level of trust to the guys you coach. They have to trust you, and you have to trust them. And from the relationship side of it, it's hard to find a better group of guys than the guys that I coach with on both sides of the ball. Just how incredible my assistant coaches have been with our guys and preparing them week to week, and just been such a family environment. Everything you want on a high school football team.
Pretty cool stat. The last time you went undefeated, Bergen Catholic, was in 1998. DeBellis was the offensive coordinator. Fast forward all these years later, he's the defensive coordinator. Pretty cool. That probably will never happen again at Bergen Catholic. So
yeah.
Now you win the whole thing. And if you think the regular season, folks out there, is tough at Bergen Catholic, because head coaching in these Catholic schools up in North Jersey, it's a different beast. It's tougher than coaching in college. So the season ends, and it's just an onslaught of college coaches. How many college coaches visited the corner of Forest and Oradell this week?
Yeah, 51 so far this week.
51.
I mean, it's still a lot. Yeah, well, that's between all three levels. But, yeah, 51 schools have been in at our school in the last 5 days. And, you know, we're blessed that we have 15 seniors that are going to play college football next year. Half of those guys are committed already, but with the carousel that's going on, it's been very transient at the next level with coaches, as everyone knows. And, you know, that could be stressful to any young 17, 18-year-old kid that's trying to cultivate relationships and develop a future and where he's going to be for the next 4 to 5 years of his life.
Well, let's start with the Irish of Notre Dame. Thankfully, Brian Kelly's out of there. Tommy Reese was up at school the other day. Your quarterback, Steve Angeli, is committed to Notre Dame. One of your defensive backs, Jade Bellamy, committed to the Irish. Are they sticking to it, and is Notre Dame sticking with them?
Well, 100%, yeah. So, it's so much on the relationship side of it. So Coach Freeman, who's now the head coach, did a great job recruiting Jaden Bellamy, and I think Notre Dame does a good job recruiting the guys that are going to coach them, a lot like I was just talking about our assistants, having relationships with our guys. And then Tommy and Steve, I think it's been like a cultivated relationship for the last year and a half. So when that went sideways, and Tommy didn't even know. I mean, obviously he wants to be at Notre Dame, but Coach Kelly making that decision, he didn't know if he was going to have the opportunity. So at that point, it's really hard to tell a kid what to do, and you want to make sure you're putting every kid in the best situation for them. And, you know, we've had a lot of discussions between myself and a couple of the families, just what is the best thing to do. And thankfully, in that situation, it's certainly going to work out for the best on both sides. And Coach Reese and Coach McCulkey spent the whole day at Burton Catholic yesterday, and you know we have a great relationship with those guys, and I'm really happy that they're going to be staying in place.
John,
we got a couple more guys in the future that are high level players, and they have good relationships. So.
Well, and I can tell you one place they won't be going to, and we'll talk about that in a second. Did you by chance ask Tommy Reese about my boy Jack Cohn from Sayville High School? Did he have anything positive to say about 1-7?
Couldn't have more positive things to say about his toughness, his resolve, the way he plays the game. We talked about Jack quite a bit, and you know, he actually used Jack as an example for some of the things that Steve could do and developing his future as a Notre Dame quarterback. But he couldn't say enough great things about Jack and what he means to their program, and hopefully they're keeping their fingers crossed they'll be in the college football playoffs if things go right today.
Lincoln Riley found out what it's like when you mess with a coach's kid who's from northern New Jersey and he's Italian. He got he screwed Jaden Gold, who was committed to the Trojans, and he's not going to go there now. And Mr. Riley, I guess, will never be at Bergen Catholic in the future. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll never be there. I just got the sentiment from that situation. To me, it's the antithesis of what we want our relationships with our players to be. Like, we try and develop such a family environment with our guys that it's an extension of their family. And unfortunately for like four of our guys this week, they had to see firsthand the business side of college football. And I just, you know, it just doesn't sit well with me. This is a kid who stayed tried and true to USC through a coaching change mid-year. He had probably 30 different schools across the country trying to get him to flip. He stayed loyal. And then when everything goes down, I kind of feel like they're in a situation where they want to bring their own guys and all the power to them. They can do that. But, you know, obviously USC doesn't need Bergen Catholic. But as you said, Bergen Catholic doesn't need USC either. So it's kind of one of those things, like if it's not going to be a great relationship for the kid, I'm certainly not going to tell him not to decommit. So that's kind of the way it went. And I'm not saying Coach totally dropped him, but at the same time, we just didn't have a great experience from the confidence side that he was the A1A guy that they wanted. And I'll tell you this, Jaden Gould is about as A1A of a kid and a player as I've been around in 22 years. He's going to be a special college player. He's a special person to me. And he's already out in Nebraska right now today. But he's going to have to really get this figured out within the next 2 weeks. And that's unfortunate to a guy who's been nothing but loyal to his school for the last 6 months.
He will. When do you get back in the weight room with the guys?
Yeah. So, really, you know, honestly, my son was in the weight room the day after the state championship as a freshman. So I think those guys gave the younger guys a good example of what to want and expect. But as a team, we'll be back in there on January 6th. So we'll give them really this month to regenerate a little bit and kind of clear their head and get their academics right. And after Christmas, we'll get back at it and start working on 2022.
Vito Campanelli, head coach of the undefeated Bergen Catholic football team, the number one team in New Jersey, the number four team in the good old USA. Coach, you can breathe now until January 6th, and everyone's going to be like, hey, man, what'd you do for me lately? So
we got it already, Mike. We got it already.
Exactly. Those Bergen fans are lunatics. Well, listen, buddy, it was fun hanging with you all this year. A lot of fun. Congratulations to you. I don't root for schools. I root for people. I'm really happy for you. And you and your family have a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I'll see you soon.
Mike, I appreciate everything you guys do for high school football. I know you got Greg coming on. He was on my first state championship team when I coached for my father. So, best of luck to him today. So just appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks, Coach. We'll talk soon. Vito Campanelli, 12-0, head coach, Bergen Catholic. What a year it was on the corner of Forest and Ordell. Well, he mentioned it. Greg Russo, the head coach of Northern Highlands. We'll talk to him as he gets ready to try to go after victory number 13 later today down at Rutgers.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Time for the Gatorade Player of the Week. Last one presented by Gatorade. Greatness starts with G. Actually, this week it starts with E. Each week during the high school football season, the New York Jets and Gatorade will honor a Player of the Week. The player will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. And this week's player, Enzo Arjona. The 6-foot, 180-pound quarterback for Northern Highlands headed to Monmouth. But before he heads down to the shore, he's got one final game today because he was flat-out sensational in the sectional championship as the top seed Northern Highlands beat the 2-seed Ramapo in one of the best high school football games ever played. 12 of 19, 230 yards and 3 touchdowns through the air, and he's just as dangerous with his legs. 22 carries, 109 yards, and 2 scores, leading Northern Highlands to a 35-30 come-from-behind victory. There were 3 lead changes in the final 3 minutes. The game-winning touchdown pass, 15 yards to Kyle Major with 28 seconds left. And we're lucky enough to have the head coach of Northern Highlands as they get ready this morning. They'll jump on a bus and head south on the turnpike, destination exit 9, Rutgers University, where they'll take on Irvington for the North section, the North Regional Championship. Greg Russo, coach, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
Very good. That quarterback of yours, he is a gamer. You know, he might not be big, but he plays a hell of a lot bigger than 6 feet. That's for sure, Coach Russo.
Yeah, for sure, man. He had a lot of, I know he had a lot of stats and a lot of stuff that people kind of noticed in the game, his big passes. What I'll think about in that game is like some of his short yardage runs were like unbelievable. Like we missed a back guard, he ran the kid over. I mean, he's been, those are the plays as a coach and like coaching him for so long. He's a gutsy kid. And, you know, those plays really showed me what he's all about more than those other plays.
The Northern Highlands Ramapo game, Matt and I started forecasting that thing, and I think everybody did up in North Jersey, that that could be a special game. And then the game just took on a surreal, I don't even know how to describe, but with the passing of Coach Gibbs 6 days before you were supposed to play in the sectional championship, they pushed the game back a week. Ramapo dealing with Coach's death. You're dealing with Coach's death. What I wanted to ask you, Coach, your guys, what did you do that week where the game was kind of put on a hiatus? How did your guys stay focused?
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's no playbook for that thing. I mean, you get a bye week sometimes, but you plan that out pretty far in advance. This was like sudden. Obviously, it was horrible. But, you know, for us, because it happened and we didn't know exactly when the game didn't get moved to like Wednesday or Thursday. So we pretty much just went with like a regular week, which I talked about it with coaches for a little while, and we just treated it normal. Like Thursday, we did a walkthrough like we normally would do if we were playing Friday. Friday, we did some like some situational type, you know, scrimmage. And then Saturday, we watched film of that as if it was a game. And then Sunday, I gave them off like we played. So we just did everything like we normally played. Saturday, we did our lift and recovery. And then Sunday, I gave them off. And then Monday, we started the week new. Because I wanted us to stay in rhythm. And I know sometimes when you do like a rest them or, you know, some guys push them too hard. I thought this week was, I thought it was too late in the year to really push them hard. So we just did our normal game week stuff.
Joined by Greg Russo, the head coach of Northern Highlands, as his guys get ready to try to write history and destiny. They could go 13-0 with a win against Irvington this afternoon, 4 p.m. at Rutgers. We'll get to that game in just a second, Coach. But have you were involved as the offensive coordinator in some huge games at Paramus Catholic, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. Have you ever been involved in a game that had more ebbs and flows than this? 8 lead changes, 3 lead changes in the final 3:14.
The only one that I could ever think of was our first championship against Bergen. Was kind of like that. Like we went up big. They came back, and then remember they took a lead, and like we let them score, and we scored, and they scored again, and then we scored again in like the two, and like to go up. So like that's the only game that I could think of that like traded like that, especially late. But even that, I mean, I think this one might have been a little crazier. But that's the only game that I could think of that was anything like that.
They had not kicked the ball to Charlie Spiragna the whole game. And they do in with a minute left in the game. He brings it back 48, 50 yards. When Enzo, your quarterback, leaves you from the sideline, what did you see in his face that said, okay, we're going to be okay?
I think we were both, it was all just a blur, but we were both just kind of like, all right, we practice this all the time. This is what we do. Like, this is what you want, right, Enzo? And he was like, yeah. Like, he was all excited. He was so excited even before the return. Now, we were just getting the ball, and we had a minute. So when we had the return, we had the short field. I mean, he was really excited. We were excited to kick it to him, honestly. And I credit my special teams coach, Blake Costanzo, for that. I think he had some gamesmanship there. And he got them to kick it to him, and it worked.
and he played for Coach Gibbs at Ramapo High School too. He actually had a T-shirt on. Rest in peace, Coach. I think I saw that or read that somewhere. Is that correct?
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
You played a very difficult regular season. It started at Rutgers back in late August when you took on Somerville and nobody really gave you a chance. And I know that bothered your quarterback, and he kind of took that as a badge of honor. And you played a regular season schedule. Of the seven of the teams you played in the regular season went to the postseason, and I think five of them either won or made it to sectional championships. This has the potential, if you ring the bell today, to be one of the most magical public high school football seasons of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really notice it when the schedule came out really so much, but as we were playing, you're like, wow, every week, this is tough, every week, you know, so... I mean, our coaching staff and our kids wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, there's nothing worse than playing a game where, like, it's an overmatched thing and you can spend a lot of time in practice and game planning. But, you know, every week was a big game, and I think that's great. And, you know, you can get worn down from that potentially, but, you know, our kids have done great with it. Our staff has done well with it. And everybody's really ready to play, and I think it really helped us in the playoffs. Like, I think, you know, come playoff time, I think that was a big advantage for us because we've been in a lot of games. We've had to come from behind. You know, when you're calling games when you're up by 20, 30 as a staff, like, I mean, even as kids, like, it's hard to all of a sudden be in a one-score game, it's 3rd-and-3, and you haven't been in a situation in a clutch time. You know, so we've had to do it all year, so the playoffs were, like, nothing different for us.
To go 13-0, Coach Russo, you are going to have to go through the most athletic team you've played this year in Irvington High School, today at 4 o'clock at Rutgers. What matchups do they present to you that you haven't seen this year?
I mean, we've seen a lot of good players, but they have some really good players, and they do a good job down there. You know, they have a safety. Number one is a stud. I mean, he's all over the field, and, you know, they have a bunch of receivers that can go up and make plays. They have some big linemen. I mean, they have a lot of great athletes, a lot of kids that are, you know, Division I schools are offering. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to come in and, you know, out-athlete us, basically, right, is what I'm expecting, and I'm sure it's kind of what they're thinking. You know, but for us, we got to just keep playing how we play. I mean, individual matchup wise, can they win some matchups? I do. I think for us, you know, we got to play as a team, and we got to scheme, and we got to make sure we're in the right spot and just play like we have all year. You know, I think they've shown some really good moments on tape, and I think for them, it's like, you know, I'm sure they feel good about the game just like we do, and it's going to come down to who can control the game.
Irvington beat Middletown South in the sectional championship, okay? No history between those two, and really no history between you and Ramapo. You played them one time, but everybody wanted to see that game. So as a coach, has there been a letdown? Because let's face it, nobody was saying at the beginning of the year, we want to play Irvington. Everybody wanted to play Ramapo. So when you brought the boys back in after that game last Friday night, was it tough to get them clicking and focused right away?
No, I mean, they were definitely emotional after the game, and that's why I gave them off for the weekend and, you know, let them kind of do their thing. And then Monday we got back to work, and this group's been great at that. But, I mean, the funny thing to me is, like, I saw Irvington play their first scrimmage because they were playing Somerville. And, you know, when everything came out, like, it's going to come down to us, Irvington and Ramapo. I told all the coaches that it's going to be us three at the end. And, you know, in whatever order the bracket works, right? It's kind of what I thought. So,
well, hell, if you knew that, why do we have Sims here? I should have you on the show every week.
I kind of felt like that's how it was going to be. And when the bracket came out, even people were like, oh, Middletown South, you're going to play. I'm like, it's going to be Irvington. You know, and I was pretty sure about it. And so, like, to me, like, the kids do know this. We played in the playoffs 2 years ago. So, like, there's no surprise that it's them. And, you know, I think it's an exciting game. It's interesting. There's different styles. And, you know, the styles make fights.
All right, so break it down. Give me the game day ops today. What's the schedule? When do you leave? Do you have breakfast with the guys? When do the guys get up to school? Take me through today.
I let my kids sleep in. They'll come in at 12. We'll eat. And then we'll pack up the bus, and we'll get on the bus. We'll get on the road probably around at 1. We can't get into the bubble down there at Rutgers, I think, until 2:30. So you're going to do the whole warm-up deal in that bubble they have over there, and then they're going to grab us around 3:35, walk us in, and they said, you're not even going to a locker room. You're walking to the sideline, and you're going to the game. So, and that's kind of how we'll go.
Will you get a police escort down there?
You know, I don't know. I'm not in charge of that stuff. I don't know. Hopefully we don't need it. Hopefully there's no traffic right now. You think we need one?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's just the optics. It always looks so good when the buses pull in. You got the cops in front of you, man. Come on, you know people. Get yourself a, get me one in front, one in the back, the whole thing. Let's go.
I'm sure the highway guys took care of that.
I hope so. I want to see some pictures, buddy. All right? I want a police escort going down there. Coach Russo, it's been a great year. No matter what happens, it becomes magical if you score one more point than Irvington today at Rutgers University. Congratulations on a great year, and best of luck this afternoon, Coach.
Thanks, Mike. You have a good one.
.net. Well, I never thought the day would come where there was the potential for one college kids to get paid, but I never ever thought there would be a chance where high school kids could get paid. But we live in a different world, and if it's out there, kids are going to take advantage of it, but they can't get taken advantage of. That's why we bring in Doug Phillips, the founder, president of Accelerate Sports, who's up there in Boston College today. Doug, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Great to be on. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with you again. Well, I can confirm for you that Matt Sims is not in Boston.
Yeah, no, we do not know. We do not know where he is. We do not know. And now I'm a little worried, to be honest with you. So I just can't wait to get a text just hoping he overslept or whatever. So, Doug, you're up at Boston College, and this thing is really starting to kick, the name, image, and likeness. So up at Boston College, you have a relationship with the head football coach. They got you into BC, and you spoke not only to the football program yesterday, but the entire athletic program. How did that go? What did you speak about? More importantly, what were the biggest questions you got about name, image, and likeness?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mike. This thing in college, it's going on, you know, 4 or 5 months now, and people are starting to get their arms around it, right? And so with our relationship at Boston College, we're in contact with them on a daily basis, right? How can we help these athletes, right? When you're 18 to 22 years old, having to deal with a contract, tax implications, how you should be managing your social media and the content that you're putting out there. So we've gotten all kinds of questions, right, from everything from legal and tax implications to how to build your brand, which is something the kids really get excited about, right, to be able to communicate exactly what they want to their audience and then help them get paid for that. And so it's been really interesting. It was really unique to talk to the recruits who are interested, right? Hey, how can I really build my brand as I start to come on campus here at Boston College and get my career off and running on the field, but also off the field.
Doug, who has a better opportunity to make money in college, the male or female athlete?
It's really interesting, Mike. And you know, everybody has talked about, well, this is a football and basketball dominated opportunity. And I would tell you so far, that's not the case, right? We've seen female athletes really do a phenomenal job at not only building a brand, but creating marketing and revenue opportunities for themselves. So, you know, the best example I can give you is Paige Beckers at UConn, right? One of the best players in the country, phenomenal on social media. And she's got deals coming at her left and right. And she's being really strategic about her approach. But it's not just for the guys, right? The guys have a great opportunity for this. Football players, for sure. Quarterbacks, absolutely, right? When you're touching the ball every play, you have a distinct advantage. But for the kids who know how to play the social media game, Mike, and that's where we spend a lot of time, we bring in some phenomenal experts as part of my program to teach kids, hey, this is how you can take advantage of this. Here's the stuff you need to stay away from, because there's a lot of that on social media, right, where you can really bury yourself. So how can you be strategic and intentional and really make a great brand for yourself? And then the money will come.
Doug, question for you, and I've never asked you this, but let's say, use Graham Mertz, the quarterback at Wisconsin, as an example. He was the first college athlete to sign on with an NIL contract, and he has had an awful year. So the company that signed him, can they also get rid of him? Or once you sign, you're locked in for a period of time?
Yeah, I would tell you, Mike, one, anytime you do an arrangement, like with an endorsement, it's a risk, right, on both sides. The company, right? What if the company is involved in a Ponzi scheme, right? Or something to that effect, right? So there's always risk when you go into this. And so you need to go in eyes wide open and really get to know the person or company that you're working with. as well as they need to get to know the athlete. Well, your example is one that we've seen all over college football this year. There's been about a half dozen quarterbacks that were predicted to be at the top of the Heisman ballot, and none of them are there, and they all got NIL deals out of the gate this year just based on reputation.
So in the future, Doug, will companies be more – will there be more due diligence next year, do you think? Or are they just going to – it's a quarterback, let's throw it at him.
I do think there's going to be more due diligence because there was a huge advantage, Mike, given how new this was, just to be first, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those guys still got great value out of it because there was so much media publicity about this because it's the first time it's ever been done. And I think you're going to see that. You know, the rule in New York State for high school athletes is in effect right now. And I think as some of these deals start to get announced, you're going to see that media blitz, you know, for the fact that these are some of the first deals in the history of New York State.
I'm Jimmy Mullen, one of the best wrestlers in America, who goes to St. Joe's Regional in Montvale, New Jersey. And Doug Phillips and his team comes in. What do you do from beginning? So you make the contact. What do you need to do to get a high school athlete up and going? How long does it take? How much education is put into it to make sure that everything has a bow on it?
Yeah. Well, I love your example, Mike, because, you know, excited to announce that we are partners with St. Joe's in Montvale, and look forward to meeting Jimmy and all the athletes at St. Joe's. Look, he's got opportunities. He's going to have opportunities. There's no doubt, right? And so we want to make sure that he's protected, right? Because there's going to be a lot of people coming to try to talk to him and his parents. And so any red flags, that's what I'm here to warn them of, right? Like, we had an agent talking to an athlete that's in the Accelerate system, and the athlete was saying stuff that just wasn't going to work, you know, just wasn't industry standard operating procedure. And I said, look, if you're going to continue with this, the call's over, right? And so we need to make sure that the kids are protected, right? And the parents, right? If you haven't had these types of conversations before, right, Mike? I think we talked about this last time. It's like learning a foreign language, right? Remember that first time you walked into Spanish class or French class and you didn't know anything, but by the end of the semester, you knew a lot. And so
I got to be honest. I took French. I knew nothing. It was a wasted year. I knew nothing. Nothing at all, buddy.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
Right, Mike? It's not going to happen overnight, right? We got to really lay a foundation here of how to build your brand. How do you want to approach this? You know, someone like Jimmy could really do a great job of making money through camps, right? Because so many kids would want to learn from him, right? Could there be merchandise opportunities? Could there be endorsement opportunities given the workouts that he does? Could there be, you know, workout plans? You know, a lot of our clients are doing subscription-based opportunities, leveraging technology to get their workouts across the country, not just in a very regionalized approach, right? So there's so many opportunities, speaking engagements. There's going to be some deals announced soon, Mike, with New York high school athletes where, you know, they're getting paid to post on Instagram. They're getting paid to help be a part of a photo shoot, right? So there's all sorts of stuff that's happening right now. And, you know, as long as these guys are protected, guys and girls, I'm excited for them about the opportunities that they have in front of them.
We're joined by Doug Phillips, the founder, president of Accelerate Sports, breaking down the NIL, name, image, and likeness. So we mentioned St. Joe's. It becomes official January 1st in New Jersey that high school athletes can now get money through their name. It's already going in the state of New York. You have schools already locked on to your program. Iona Prep, Archbishop Stepanak up in White Plains. Anybody else since we spoke last time that's jumped on board? I know you're in conversations with a lot of schools.
Yeah, Mike, we've got a dozen conversations going in New Jersey right now that I'm really excited about. We expect to have a very strong presence on Long Island in the very, very near future. And we've got a growing college division. So, you know, we just landed a very large bid out in California that I'm hoping we can talk about at the turn of the new year. So, you know, things are good. We're busy. I'm really excited about, you know, the chance to help. Right? You got to see the smile on these kids' face, Mike, when they learn that they're going to be making a couple $1,000.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's awesome, right? And for the parents to talk about, like, man, this is incredible. This is such a new opportunity. And, you know, 3 months ago, it wasn't allowed, right? And I think you're going to see the same thing in New Jersey. There's a lot of opportunity for New Jersey athletes. You know, there are some big, big, prominent names, right? and really good people with strong brands, right? Now we're going to mold them a little bit, and I think they're going to be able to take great advantage of this.
And during this holiday season, you come bearing gifts on this show. So what are you offering listeners today?
Well, Mike, our business, right, we do what we love is going in person, right, and doing these workshops at schools, right, Boston College, St. Joe's, Iona Prep, Stepanak, and many others that we're going to be joining on. But for people who want to get a jump start on name, image, and likeness, we built a digital product that's available on our website at acceleratesportsventures.com. It's called NIL 101, You Are Your Own Brand. And today, the first five people that DM me on Instagram, at Accelerate Sports Ventures, we're going to give them a free subscription to NIL 101. It's me in a podcast format interviewing NFL players, Instagram influencers, and really giving you a foundation of how to get started with your NIL. And then we're going to actually build a community where we're doing live versions, so these athletes are going to be able to talk to my partner Devon Kennard, who's a former New York Giant who now plays with the Arizona Cardinals, and learn about how he built his brand and what he does with his money to help invest it and keep it growing for the long term. So I'm really, really excited about it. Please reach out via Instagram at Accelerate Sports Ventures, and we'll make sure we get these subscriptions to, you know, anybody listening to the Quick 60 show today.
All right, buddy. Well, Doug, we appreciate it. We appreciate everything you're doing, making sure these high school kids don't make bad decisions, giving them an opportunity to make a little money along the way. And we appreciate you jumping on board as a sponsor to this show. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Great holiday season. And I will see you soon, buddy.
Same to you, Mike. Thanks.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Because he just fell apart picking games. Did not come in for the final show. He was not allowed to pick the BC Bosco game because he coaches at Bosco. Bosco lost 28-7. We both went with Curtis, but Yassin Murden, 122 all-purpose yards and two touchdowns, helped Danny Landsberg's East Erasmus Hall team to the championship 33-26. The final minute and a half was just incredible by Jeremiah Kolkoff. He had two touchdowns in a minute and 51 span and had an interception. So E-Hall has now rung the bell three consecutive times in New York City. We both like Garden City to beat Belport. They did, the Trojans' fourth title in the last 5 years. So for the week, Sims 1-1. The Wizard hangs his hat at 2-1 for the season. Sims, a very pedestrian 24-2. The Wizard, 29-14. But the Wizard did pick much, much more difficult games. So it has been a wild year, 14 weeks of this. You never know where we're going to show up again. I do want to say this. I love Tim McCarthy. Tim McCarthy gave myself and Matt Sims an opportunity to do this show, and I'll thank him forever. He is the greatest guy, and boy, did these people make a mistake letting him go. You're not going to find a better guy, a leader of people, than Tim McCarthy. I love him. I thank him. And I know somewhere along the line, our paths will cross again. For Matt Sims, for Ty, for Monty, you guys, man, we have a lot of fun. I know we drag you in here. Thank you for everything you've done this year, man. I really mean that.
Of course, man. It's always a pleasure doing business with you. And just sad that Matt couldn't be here today.
I know. Well, maybe he's getting ready to listen to this song. It is the greatest Christmas song ever invented by a bunch of dudes out there in Queens. I don't know where I was, but I just got hooked on this song in the last, year. There's nothing that says Christmas like Run DMC. Everybody asks me. I was at the St. John's game last night at the UBS. Beautiful arena. St. John's has no interior presence. None. Mike Anderson's going to have a very difficult time this year. For everybody out there, wish St. John's an interior presence for Christmas. They need it. I wish everybody out there Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. See you, everybody.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.